Hi, this is Walter Wiese with Parks Fly Shops podcast for 24th of March 2011. This is our second podcast, and I'm actually going to sort of recycle just an MP3 file I put up on our website last summer about fishing the salmon fly hatch. Most of what I said in that file is still perfectly valid, but I'm going to kind of add to that by talking about the timing of the various salmon fly hatches in and around Yellowstone Park. And also, of course, because that file was just set up as an MP3 download rather than a true podcast, I wanted to kind of get this up as a podcast to make it more readily accessible. So I'm going to start off by talking about the timing of the various hatches, and then I'll kind of just transfer it over to the file I made last summer. There's basically five salmon fly hatches I'm going to talk about. In Yellowstone Park and then on the Yellowstone River itself. The first of these, both chronologically and in terms of duration, is the hatch on the Firehole River. And the Firehole is primarily not a salmon fly river, but it has a short hatch in the Firehole Canyon from the Cascades down to the confluence with the Gibbon River, which forms the Madison. And typically you're going to see salmon flies on this stretch of the river anytime from the 1st of June until the 15th of June, maybe as late as the 20th of June in very wet years. And like I said, it's a short chunk of river, just a couple miles long, but it's kind of a sleeper bet because it's tough to get down into the canyon in a lot of places. And as you can imagine, the Firehole not having very many salmon flies, when they do hatch, the fish kind of go nuts for them. So you'll get a short chunk of fishing in there for a few days if you can get down into the canyon. Then, about a week to 10 days after the Firehole hatch, there's a hatch on the Madison River in Yellowstone Park. Now, the Madison has a hatch outside the park below Quake Lake, which is much more famous, and that hatch takes place in late June and July. And I'm not really going to talk about that here because it's actually fairly far away from us in terms of drive time, and we simply don't get over there very much during the salmon fly hatch. But the hatch in Yellowstone Park, you get generally about a week of fishing, and that's going to take place primarily in the Madison River Canyon section of the Madison in the park, the section a few miles west of the Madison Junction, where the Firehole and the Gibbon come together to form the Madison. And that's basically the area where you can see big boulders and turbulent water. That's one kind of those are two main considerations for the salmon flies to do well. They need fast water, highly oxygenated water, and boulders. And so that section of the Madison that meets those requirements is going to have a hatch. And the bugs do spill over some upstream and down. So just upstream of the Madison River Canyon and then downstream a little bit, you'll also see some fish eating them. And that's going to take place basically from about the 10th of June in dry years or the 15th of June in wet years until the 20th to 25th of June. Then going northward, you've got a few salmon flies on the Gibbon River, but it's not really a fishable hatch. And then you come up to the Gardner River, and Gardner River is unique in that it has kind of two distinct phases to its hatch. Because the Gardner has very cold water upstream from Boiling River, which is a large hot spring, and then downstream of that it has fairly warm water. And so it has salmon flies both above Boiling River and below, but because the water is so much warmer below, that section of the hatch starts much earlier. And so the Gardner's hatch can spread out quite a lot. And below Boiling River, it's going to start usually between the 20th of July in dry and warm years, and the beginning of, I'm sorry, the 20th of June in dry and warm years, and the 1st of July in wet years. That's going to be when it starts below Boiling River. And that's going to last usually until the 4th of July in a dry year or the middle of July in a wet year. And that section of the Gardner is pretty fast, rough, difficult to access, and the water can still be high at that time, but the fishing can be really good. And you don't really see too many people in the Gardner usually. And then now there's going to be a little fishing above Boiling River when those insects are hatching below Boiling River, because they just simply fly upstream. And so for the mile or so above Boiling River, that same time frame, we'll see a smaller number of salmon flies in the air. But that hatch above Boiling River, the peak of that is going to be about a week to 10 days later than it is below Boiling River. Typically, that hatch is going to start anywhere from the 4th of July until the 15th of July is when it's going to begin. And then it'll last until the 25th of July and last as long as early August in wet years. 2 years ago, we actually saw fish feeding on salmon flies as late as August 6th. And that's probably the latest you'll ever see fish eating salmon flies in the Rockies. So that's kind of a treat to see them eating them that late. And then a short hatch takes place on the Lamar River, in the Lamar River Canyon, right around the Northeast Entrance Road Bridge, basically. And again, that's about a 4 mile stretch of water that sees that hatch. And the really good numbers of salmon flies are generally in the water upstream of the bridge. And that hatch is going to take place anywhere from around the beginning of July in drier years. That's when it begins, until about the 10th of July in wet years is when it begins. And it'll last anywhere from the 15th of July until maybe the 20th of July, somewhere in there. And basically, if you see some big salmon flies flying around, if you're on your way out to Soda Butte Creek or the Upper Lamar, it's a good idea to try to scramble down to the river in there. You don't usually get a long stretch where the fish are really keying on the salmon flies in there, but when it's good, it's really good. And then, of course, the primary salmon fly hatch that we fish is the one on the Yellowstone River, and that can start anywhere from the 20th to 25th of June in dry years, and then will start more around the 4th of July in wet years. And typically the hatch is going to begin in kind of scattered emergences downstream of Livingston and up through Paradise Valley, kind of scattered until around the 4th of July. And then around the 4th of July, it's going to start getting a little bit more firmly established around Immigrant, Montana, which is basically the middle of Paradise Valley. And then it's going to get stronger and stronger as you go upstream from there. And so usually between the 10th and 15th of July, sometimes as early as the 4th of July, we'll have a pretty heavy hatch from Gardner immediately downstream to the top of Yankee Jim Canyon, which is essentially the first floatable stretch of the Yellowstone. And that's when the hatch is going to peak in that section. And then after that, the hatch progresses upstream into Yellowstone National Park and, say, around the area of Tower, as well as the Lahari Rapids section, not too far below the Yellowstone Lake, you're going to have the peak salmon fly emergence between the 15th and 20th of July. And one of the interesting things about the Yellowstone is that it has a lot of cold water sources coming in the form of small creeks, as well as some smaller warm water sources in form of small hot springs. And so you're going to get a much stronger hatch when the general water temperature reaches a certain point. That's kind of the timing I've given so far about the Yellowstone. But you'll also get the hatch spread out a little bit at the beginning near those warm water sources, because the warm water coming into the river is going to prompt the salmon flies in that section to emerge early. And then below cold tributary streams, the hatch will last longer. And so the peak of the hatch is going to be anywhere from, say, the 4th of July until the 20th of July. But you're going to get a week either side of that where there's a few of them coming out. And especially towards the tail end, near those cold water sources, the fish will still rise to salmon flies, even though you don't see very many of them in the air. So the Yellowstone, you can see fish rising to salmon flies often as late as the 20th to 25th of July. And that's especially true up in Yellowstone Park, where the fish see fewer, you know, fake bugs, less pressure. And that can be a lot of fun getting up there, hiking into the Black or Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone, and fishing salmon flies, like I said, as late as the 25th of July. So those are kind of the main hatches that I'm going to cover here. There's a few other streams that see them, like, as I said, the Gibbon sees a few. I imagine the Lewis and the Snake down at the southern end of the park will see a few. And then there's good hatches on the Gallatin and the Madison, but those are kind of outside our areas of operation. But you can contact fly shops, say in West Yellowstone or Bozeman, to learn more about those hatches. And so that's basically it for timing. And I'm going to go ahead and cut this now and connect this file to the one I made last summer, which is more about techniques and sort of maximizing your salmon fly success. As always, thanks for listening. And if you have any questions or would like to suggest a podcast topic, please contact us. Thanks.
Hi, this is Walter Wiese with Parks Fly Shop. We're coming up on our salmon fly hatches here on the Yellowstone River and a couple of the rivers here at the northern part of the park, including the Lamar and the Gardner. And so I wanted to do a little kind of podcast about kind of techniques we use, what to expect when you're fishing the salmon fly hatch. And while this is kind of tailored to the Yellowstone and to a slightly lesser extent, those other rivers I mentioned, it will apply most places. So, kind of the first thing that you want to keep in mind when you're fishing salmon fly hatches is your tackle. We regularly see people fishing with gear that really just isn't up to snuff in terms of the weight to handle the size of the flies, big resistant, wind resistant flies, heavy currents, pretty big fish. So, generally, what you want to fish is going to be a 9 foot, maybe even a 9.5 foot, 6 or 7 weight rod. And then your leaders, instead of, people kind of tend to gravitate towards 4 or 5X as their standard leader. We're fishing 1 to 3X leaders. Sometimes even heavier than that. If, say, we're fishing out of the boat, pitching it right into the junk, and we're just about running out of flies, we might even cut it down to 0 or even 0.1X. Really, really heavy stuff. And we're fishing 7.5 foot leaders generally with the dry flies because they are wind resistant, and that slightly shorter leader will help you turn the flies over when the wind's blowing. And we'll usually fish a 7.5 foot leader even with the nymphs, but sometimes when the fish are really on the nymphs out from the banks a little bit, then we'll fish a 9 footer because sometimes that longer piece of monofilm will actually help the flies get down a little faster. Next kind of thing you want to consider is sort of where to fish. And for this, it's important to understand the emergence behavior of the salmon fly and really all the stoneflies. Unlike mayflies and most caddis, they, not all mayflies, but most mayflies, stoneflies actually don't swim or drift to the surface of the river to emerge. They actually crawl from offshore rocks, structure on the bottom. They crawl towards the bank and then actually climb out on rocks and sticks and so on to emerge. That's why you see all the shucks. When you're done fishing, sitting on the rocks, split open. And so, because of the bugs are migrating towards the bank or towards other structure that sticks up out of the water, you actually need to fish tight to the banks. This is one time where, especially when you're fishing on foot, it usually doesn't make a lot of sense to fish with an indicator because you'll sometimes be fishing less than a foot of water. It's really impossible to find water that's too shallow. And so, generally on the Yellowstone River, which is bigger, deeper in the middle, we're going to be fishing within 2 to 3 feet of the bank. Sometimes a little farther out, when you've got eddies and so on. But in general, within 2 to 3 feet of the bank and often closer than that. On the Gardner River, you can spread out a little more because it's dropping a little faster than the Yellowstone is. Lamar is still pretty burly. I don't think the Lamar will be fishable this year, but it often is during the salmon fly hatch, which is about 10 days after the Yellowstone's hatch. And there in the Lamar Canyon, we'll often fish kind of right out in the middle of the river because you got so many great big huge boulders in the middle of the river that the fish will sit behind, and then the bugs will crawl out on. So that's the key thing. Fish tight to the banks usually with the salmon flies. That applies both to nymphs and dry flies. So there's kind of two components to the salmon fly hatch. There's the pre-hatch nymphing, or even during the hatch nymphing, and then there's the dry fly fishing. And the dry fly fishing is really the marquee thing that people really come out here to do. But frequently the nymphing is actually better. There's a lot more nymphs in the water. They're easier for the fish to get to. They're not glutted yet. And also there's actually just simply less people fishing for them. As soon as the big bugs start popping out on the surface, where you can catch fish on, park salmon flies or prom queens or every conceivable permutation of elk hair and something orange. Then you get all kinds of guide boats and people fishing on foot and so on, and so the fish get spookier. But that pre-hatch fishing is frequently really, really good. And so what you want to do in that situation, frequently the water's going to be quite dirty still, and on the Yellowstone we'll usually indicator nymph if we're in the boat, or indicator or high stick if we're not in the boat. Again, fishing really, really close to the bank. And really, when you just first get started, what we're going to do is fish a black stonefly nymph, like a Matt Minch's Brookstone, or original Brookstone, or there's a Bailey fly we like called a Flashback Stone. There's all kinds of different black-bodied stonefly nymphs, but that's what we're going to start off with, usually with a Golden Stone trailer or some kind of big attractor nymph trailer. So that's kind of where we are right now. If you're going to go fish the Yellowstone right now, which is still really too high to fish, but you could probably catch some fish out of it. That's what we'd be using is a big black bug. Even a woolly bugger with maybe a slightly shorter than usual tail, or even a plain old black woolly worm. So we're gonna fish something black right now. And then just as they're getting ready to hatch, a lot of the bugs will start showing the orange belly of the adult, even while they're still nymphs. And so that's the time when we're gonna switch to something like a Bitch Creek nymph or a Montana nymph. With an orange thorax rather than yellow. That's what we're going to use, like on the Gardner or on the Yellowstone, fishing out of the drift boat. What we'll also do is fish woolly buggers or other streamers that have some orange in them, and we'll dead drift those. We'll twitch them. We'll fish them a variety of different ways. And that moving bug, even sometimes the Bitch Creek nymph, will move those. And what that does is kind of makes your fly stand out from all the naturals, which are also moving, towards the bank, are going to be in the flow and available to the fish. So that makes your fly kind of stand out a little bit, and it also kind of plays upon the overall aggressiveness of the fish in the pre-hatch situation. Fish are going to be kind of going crazy, and so kind of playing to that aggressiveness, even though it's not actually natural because the salmon flies don't swim, that twitching motion will kind of attract their attention and kind of enrage them to strike. And then the other kind of thing you want to do when you're nymphing is don't stop as soon as you start seeing fish rise. There's going to be large numbers of nymphs available until at least the midpoint of the hatch, and often until fairly late in the hatch. So the fish, especially the larger fish, are often going to stay keyed on the nymphs until pretty late in the hatch cycle. The other thing that'll do is make you stand out from a lot of the other fishermen. Like I said, most salmon fly hatches are going to get a lot of people riled up, and most of those people are going to be fishing dry flies. And so if you're nymphing, you have a better chance of getting some fish that haven't been stung already. So in terms of the dry fly fishing, that's kind of the marquee thing here in this early summer is the salmon fly dry fly fishing. And everyone hears about the huge mating flights and egg-laying flights of the salmon flies and how the fish go crazy. And the depressing fact is often that's not actually the time to fish the salmon fly dry. The time you want to fish the dry salmon fly is either right at the head of the hatch when they first start popping, or post-peak, when there aren't any nymphs left in the river. And kind of the swarms of anglers have gone somewhere else because there's not as many salmon flies around. So even though there might be fewer fish eating the salmon flies, you're going to have a lot less boats to contend with and a lot less fake flies to contend with. And so the fish are going to kind of, they might have gotten stung a few times earlier in the hatch cycle by fake flies, but when there's not that many naturals on the water, and even for as much as a week after the hatch when there are no naturals on the water, fish are going to kind of remember that these big juicy bugs were available, and so when they see one float by, they might very well eat it. Some of my best salmon fly fishing has been long past when most people think they're done. Another thing you want to do when you're fishing kind of your wet salmon flies, or I mean your dry salmon flies, is allow them to sink and fish slightly wet. Salmon flies are big, bulky, pretty dense insects, and they don't really fly or float all that well. And so that's one of the reasons we like to fish kind of traditional patterns like the park salmon fly, the improved sofa pillows, which is like a park salmon fly, a lot of those kind of traditional fur and feather patterns. The big advantage of those is that you can fish those slightly wet. So what we'll often do, especially out of the drift boat, and this is something Richard Parks is really known for, is fish a dry fly and don't necessarily put any floating on it, but false cast it so it floats briefly. Cast it out there, get your drift right on the bank, dry or just kind of flush in the film, and then as it starts to pull off the bank, as it starts to drag, give it a big mend or even a slight strip and pull it slightly under the surface of the water so it's 2, 3, 4 inches underneath the water surface. And when you're in a boat especially, it's still easy to see that really big fly when it's a couple inches underwater. And that's going to imitate a fly that got sucked under in the wet currents. It's going to imitate a fly that finished egg laying and then died. It's going to imitate a lot of different things that that kind of can happen to salmon flies, making them go slightly underwater. And there's been times when we got 90% of our fish in that kind of wet phase of the drift. And again, this kind of makes your fly stand out from kind of the pack, especially since most people are now fishing foam salmon flies, which can't be fished like this. This is an especially effective technique on the Gardner and the Lamar, which are such steep pocket water streams. It's also a good bet when you're fishing really rough sections of the Yellowstone or fishing near eddies and so on. So our kind of preferred fishing flies for the dry fly phase of the salmon fly hatch. Like I said, we like to fish the traditional stuff like the Park salmon fly. That's pretty much our favorite. But it's also good to have those foam flies, especially if you're fishing a dropper nymph underneath them. Those are obviously going to float well. I personally like my Prom Queen salmon fly, which is kind of the same outline of a lot of the foam stones, but it actually has a body, furled extended body of yarn. And so that yarn body will get down into the water an inch or two while the head is still on the top. So that's a good one for kind of fishing that in the film, slightly wet phase. The other thing we like to have are some egg laying stones. You can imitate this by just tying an egg sack of either foam or peacock hurl or black dubbing on the back end of a regular salmon fly. But this one we actually prefer a fly called a half down, a Gould's half down stone. And what that is a fly tied on a stimulator hook with that egg sac on it. So the egg sac hangs down in the water, and then the wing, and then a parachute and parachute hackle keep the front end of the fly up on the top. Kind of the final thing that you want to keep in mind when you're fishing salmon fly hatches is it's good to change up a lot of the time. Frequently, when we get our salmon fly hatches, we're going to also have a lot of other stuff hatching. And since you've got these great big visible bugs floating around in the air, that's what most anglers are going to imitate. The fish, because they're getting stung a lot on the salmon flies, or simply because they get sick of them, they get literally glutted and full on salmon flies to the point where they're puking up live salmon flies even as you're catching them. Sometimes they'll focus on one of these other insects. Some of the other flies you want to definitely have are yellow sallies, tan hydropsyche caddis imitations, possibly a couple of other caddis. Green drakes will make an appearance on the Yellowstone quite often in early July. Pale morning duns in certain areas will be visible, and then of course attractor dries. And our favorite attractor dry on the Yellowstone is the Coachman Trude, or the kind of new version of it, the Coachman Clackacaddis. Those are kind of the two that we're going to go to right away. But you also want to have some really big attractors. We don't fish the really, really big attractors like they do further west a lot of the time, all that often. But this is the time of year, again during the salmon fly hatch, when we're going to have some flies like big peacock bugmeisters, or even like a wine-colored bugmeister, or a big Swisher's PMX, or a Turk's tarantula, all in like sizes 6 to 10. So not quite as big as the salmon flies, but still much bigger than we usually fish them. Then the other thing you want to try, actually, in addition to the dry flies, is streamers. Now you'll hear a lot of time that the biggest fish in the river are going to get active and rise to salmon flies. That's simply not true. I mean, you're going to get a 25-inch fish is just not going to rise to a dry fly most of the time. I've seen a couple do it, but very seldom. But those fish are going to be drawn towards the banks by the stonefly nymphs, and also simply because all the other fish and most of the other insects are going to be moving towards the banks. And so if you fish something like a white zonker or a big double bunny or even some of the big articulated stuff, a lot of times you'll kind of get the have a shot at the really big fish that are actually eating the smaller fish, eating the salmon flies. So it's good to have kind of those change up techniques to try if the dry or nymph salmon flies just are not working. So we're actually gearing up for our hatch now. The hatch is imminent as I'm speaking here on the Gardner River. We actually starting to see just a handful of adult salmon flies around, certainly not enough to dry fly fish, but they're certainly in that phase where they're focusing on the orange nymphs. And the hatch on the Yellowstone is going to follow in a week to 10 days. So we're gearing up for it here, and we're going to be fishing salmon flies, or possibly fishing salmon flies at least. You know, it'll be around probably until the good 20th of July in certain spots. We get them in the park on the Yellowstone as late as the 20th of July, maybe even a little later than that some years. So we're getting ready for it, and we hope you are too. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us. Thanks.